Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
You to try to do just that for a little while tonight as we continue to look at the inspired word from Romans chapter 13. We've been discussing somewhat at length the first seven verses, a passage of Scripture that deals with the system of salvation, particularly in that realm of the system of Christ-likeness on the behalf of those who profess to be Christians. Because a part of the system of being saved, of course, is not only to become a Christian, but to be faithful as a child of God and to conduct ourselves in a way and manner that brings glory to God and in the fashion that Christ has taught. Among those things has to do with our relationship with the civil government under which we live. And we have explored this somewhat in detail and looked at some of the various areas of controversy, and there is disagreement among good people sometimes about some of the more important matters that deal with this. I think I have just about exhausted the comments that I would have to make concerning it. If there are others who would like to offer something tonight, why, this is what I would propose that we do at the outset of our study before we proceed with additional verses. I mentioned last time, closing, hopefully, that some of you might want to make a somewhat of a contribution toward the discussion as to your views with respect to this. I've told you what I think the Bible teaches pertaining to it. I'm fully aware that there be many others who do not always share those views, and I don't want to just monopolize it. If you have anything either in agreement or in disagreement or whatever you wish to say concerning this, why, please do not hesitate to do so. You will help us in our study and edify us in this matter, because this is a very important realm of our lives in trying to be Christians. I think that most of us concur with this point that there is a higher authority than civil government. We must obey God rather than men in those cases. The controversy comes up, just when does it violate the law of God? Now, that's where we have a problem. And as to what extent can a Christian serve in the service of his country in various and sundry capacities? Anyone else have anything you'd like to mention? Or
I think you don't want to talk.
Well, I did too. I thought I just...
No.
I said just about all that I know how to say and how to explain on the matter. And I, even myself, I see certain... I don't see breakthroughs against the arguments that I make, but I do see a point or two, a weakness within them that I personally find some difficulty with. That's the conclusion that I think will bear scrutiny more than others. Someone, please try to justify what you have done. Oh, no man, anything. And here you've already confessed before this group of fine people that you borrowed money. When you borrowed money, did you think you owed anything? Did any of you think you owed anything? I think all of you should have realized you owed something. Well, now, here comes Paul by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, "Owe no man anything. By what right, you professing to be a disciple of Christ and a child of God, did you violate this passage by going out here and signing a note?" Now, you may think that's just that. You may think that's a foolish thing, but this has been presented in a very serious fashion in more forums than one. And I've been present in some of them, but I would certainly agree with that. I think we'll get an insight into this if you look at the very next word, but. Now, when you see this word, but, this little conjunction, here is something on the other hand. And this is going to help us to understand the first part. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. When you talk about owing people things, are not you talking about duties and obligations that you have to other people? And certainly one thing that we cannot escape from this passage of Scripture is we do have a duty and an obligation to love, parenthesis, seek the other's highest good, to love one another. I owe you that. You owe me that. This is a divinely instigated and imposed responsibility and duty. I think he is teaching us here, do your duty and meet your obligations, whether it be financial or whether it be in a brotherly fashion or whatever. Now, I one time had a man press me pretty hard in a class, and I'm sort of fishy. I'm just big. I'm just asking for it. Come on, press me like that fellow did. Who pressed? It says, "Oh, no man anything. You are wrong to borrow money." Now, he could say that because he married into wealth. And if it hadn't been for Papa and Law, he probably would not have been any place even to get in out of the rain, knowing him. But he didn't owe anybody anything financially at all, and he was insistent that finance companies and all of these things that we buy on time and all, that we are absolutely doing wrong. Now, he didn't go so far as to say it would condemn you to eternal damnation, but he said that's wrong, and that's sin. And everybody would say, whoa, they didn't like it. But I said, okay, you refute his argument. And again, I got some more, that's about all. He didn't refute his argument. So I wasn't expecting the argument, but I hastily rallied what little resources I had, and I came up with this. And see if this won't hold water. It may have a hole in the bucket here, but see if it won't. You go down here and say, I used to illustrate this by borrow $3,000 to buy a car, but you can't buy the steering wheel for that. Now, you go down here and borrow $10,000 to buy a car. And if you borrowed $10,000 to buy a car, what would you have? $300 a month payment for the next eons? I don't know how long it would take. Forever. All right. And those payments came due now, Larry, on the first day of every month. Now, on the 25th day before the 1st, did you owe that fella anything? Now, you'd picked up $10,000 here, but your first payment was due on the 1st. On the 25th, did you owe anybody anything? I didn't. No, I didn't owe him a dime. Not until the 1st of the month did I owe him anything. He couldn't lay claim on a thing I had till the 1st of the month. Now, on the 2nd, if I hadn't paid it, he can lay claim on my new automobile. I owe it in the future, but as long as I met my obligation, I didn't owe him a dime. You realize that? I'm not obligated until the date of obligation comes due. Then I am obligated and I need to owe no man anything. I need to pay him. Isn't that right? And when I do, I paid him. All right, here the morning of the 2nd comes up, and I've just gotten through paying. I don't owe him anything until the next 1st. And I said, now you shoot that down. You say it's wrong to buy things on time. When do I owe him? We have made a mutual agreement. He agreed that I won't owe him anything until the 1st of each month. Then I'll start owing him if I don't pay it. Isn't that right? Oh, by the way, nobody could force me to pay it on the 31st if it wasn't due to the 1st. But everybody can make you pay it on the 2nd if you hadn't paid it on the 1st. I just want to say this, go broke. Okay. Now, owe no man anything. I think he's saying we have obligations. We have moral obligations. We have economic obligations. We have obligations to the government. We have obligations to the church. Let's don't be in debt on that. Let's meet our debt. Meet your obligations. Christian people meet their obligations. I want to brag a little bit about my daddy. I've done, but now I would like to contend that we have obligations. Now the obligation that Paul here is emphasizing is obviously the obligation of seeking the utmost good. Where he says, "Oh, no man anything," but I raise that question because it is so often raised. Let's proceed, because he's talked about this matter of loving one another, and this has to do with a very serious responsibility that we have. And then he speaks in illustration of loving one another, certain edicts from God, what I call man-to-man relationship laws. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. All of these commandments have to do with man's relationship with his fellow man. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Keep in mind always the definition, biblical definition of the word agape, which is translated love more often than any other, seeking the other's highest good. That's a duty that we have. It's a privilege, but it is a responsibility. And we should always strive in our dealings with one another to have that as the overriding principle. And then he says, verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Now when he says, knowing the time, friends, I think this is something that we as people who live in the world need to strive to do. Know the times in which we live. Now, I don't know how we're going to do that if we don't try to keep up with what's going on. I don't believe God expects His people to be hermits, to pull off from the affairs of the world and have no concern about them. We're in this world, and we can help mold and shape the affairs of the world. And in such a fashion, it helped to mold and shape the environment of our descendants that are coming on, and also plow ground for a better future for the Lord's church. I think we need to know the times in which we live. The times in which the Apostle Paul here was writing were very crucial times for the church, because it was undergoing persecution both from Jew and from Gentile alike. And he said, in view of this, now knowing the time, we cannot afford lethargy and indifference or sleep. We need to be awake and alert and attentive as to what is going on in the world. I'll get all down in the mouth about things, but we need to know the times. And we need to wake up. And the reason we need to wake up, my dear people, is the only solution to human dilemmas is Christ. And we know the message of Christ. And we believe the message of Christ. And we know it does work. And it needs to be spread. And it needs to be defended. It needs to be propagated. The Apostle Paul was writing to his brethren who were in crucial times. And he's telling them, wake up. Well, we need to wake out of sleep. Our salvation is as near, of course, as death is. But the night is far spent. The day is at hand. We need to cast off works of darkness. We need to put on the armor of light. I don't know, one of the most dreadful drains on the energies of God's people is that malady of lethargy and indifference and lukewarmness and a don't-care-ism and a ho-hum-ism. Brethren, as Paul said, now is the time to wake up. We better wake up. Maybe not just for our sake, but certainly for our children and grandchildren's sake.